The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
What does the arrest of such a high-profile cardinal mean for the underground church in China?
Well, it's an obvious statement by the government, by the people in power, that they're watching everyone, and anyone can fall prey to this kind of action. So it's a definite statement.
And, you know, authorities in China usually make arrests under the cloak of secrecy. This one was very public, and now we're hearing that the cardinal was released on bail. Do you think this was just an intimidation tactic?
I don't think it's just an intimidation tactic. I think, obviously, it has that part of it, I think. But also, it is about control. It is about telling the people in charge of the church, we're here at all times, and we can do this at any time that we want.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, soon after the news of Cardinal Zen's arrest broke, Matteo Bruni, the spokesman for the Vatican, said that the Holy See was following those developments with extreme attention. As you know, Cardinal Zen has since been released, but there's an estimated 300 million underground Christians and as many as 100 million underground Catholics who live in China. I want to put that number in perspective for you. 300 million. That's practically the population of this country. Can you imagine that many underground Christians? 100 million of them are Catholic. It's a lot of people. Yesterday, we prayed, though. Remember that? I asked you to pray for Cardinal Zen. If you're not familiar with who he is, he's the former bishop of Hong Kong, and he was arrested for, I love these charges, right? Supposed collusion with foreign forces. The guy's 90 years old. Right. So what he actually did was to be a trustee for a relief fund that provided money for legal and medical fees for people who were protesting against Chinese, you know, against the Chinese government's takeover of Hong Kong, especially the order that people in Hong Kong who are arrested can be extradited to China for trial. Remember that? So three others were arrested with him. He's out on bail right now. Again, he's 90. You're going to keep a 90-year-old in jail. When he was jailed, not if, but when, they said he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. But China's been criticized for this action, of course, by the U.S., the EU, Canada, Australia. And, you know, it's criticism that China's predictably rejected. And I don't know how much that has. I don't know how much China cares, right, about whether, you know, we criticize this. The Chinese foreign ministry, this is what they said in a statement. They said, quote, persons concerned are suspected of conspiracy to collude with foreign countries or foreign forces to endanger national security and act of severe nature, end of quote. That's what they had written. So Cardinal Zen's arrest, right? It's not surprising considering that China doesn't want any kind of criticism at all, even over the most heinous human rights abuses. And we've spoken about them on the air here. We've talked about the Uyghurs. We've talked about many of these abuses. So if you're somebody with maybe a squeamish stomach right now, or maybe you got some young children listening, I'm going to ask you to turn the radio down just for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. I want to share something that I heard today. Okay, I'll tell you what. Why don't you turn it down now? Okay, there was a hearing today. Congressman Chris Smith, I'm going to invite him to the program. He heard testimony about a Chinese prison, some Chinese prison authorities harvesting organs of prisoners. Now, listen, this is the macabre part of it. They were harvesting these organs while the prisoners were still alive, taking out even their hearts. I'm not making this up. This is not Drew Mariani saying, oh, this is sensation. No, this was Congressman Chris Smith. He heard that testimony, you know, personally, and he reported on it. I got the information from a very competent source. So these have been primarily members of the Falun Gong, but it's happening with others as well. The problem is Western doctors are the ones who are really benefiting, and they're maybe looking the other way on this issue, kind of turning a blind eye. Ann Noonan, who is the executive director of the Committee for U.S. International Broadcasting, in 1999, she actually founded Free Church for China. It's a non-governmental organization, an NGO, which researches and documents a lot of the persecution, religious persecution in China. And I've invited her to stop by today. She met with Cardinal Zen in his last visit to the United States in February 2020 before the shutdown took place. She's here today to give us an honest and very very truthful view of what's now unfolding. And it's great to have you with me. Thank you for your work, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Drew. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Boy, I mean, the stuff that comes out of China really gives me pause. And I don't want to sound like I'm anti-Chinese, because that's not the case. I feel bad for the people there. I feel bad for the Christians, the Catholics that are being persecuted. Cardinal Zen in particular, let's talk about that. Why would China go ahead and arrest him? Again, he's 90 years old, and the others that were arrested with him. And again, that was 3 years ago. They had plenty of opportunity to do this before. Fill us in on the situation and ultimately why now.
Hong Kong has a new leader who will be taking his post in early July. I think it was an incredible miscalculation for them to make an arrest of Cardinal Joseph Zen. There's a very low percentage of Catholics in Hong Kong, and he is just such a leading voice there. He's an incredible person. I've known him for many years, and he's kind and good, and he lives his faith. He's not political. He's Catholic. You know, there are certainly Catholic clergy who we know globally who, you know, may be more politically involved and politically active. But this cardinal, he lives his faith in kindness and love and charity, and people know it, and they follow him because of that. To do this so publicly and so globally, while maybe people aren't paying as much attention to the plight of the Catholics in China and Hong Kong, certainly will mobilize the Catholic laity globally. Yeah. And people of other faith to begin to, you know, raise their voices in prayer, pay closer attention, and work for what Harry Wu, who was my former friend and founder of Lao Gai Research Foundation, he's no longer alive, but he always wanted a peaceful and prosperous China. So there's nothing about this that's anti-Chinese. It's pro-Chinese. It's pro-people. And it's, you know, it's pro-God's kingdom. Yeah, and that's something that I think a lot of people see Cardinal Zen's work as being incredibly sincere. So to arrest him at age 90, I don't think that's a good move.
You've spent time with him, right? In personal time. What's he like as a person?
He's a very kind person. I met him, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago in New York. And then a few years later, we met with a small group and we had lunch. He's very, nothing two-dimensional, just loving. Right before the shutdown, we had dinner in D.C. with Wei Jingsheng and a small group of people. And, you know, here's a little about him. Mm-hmm. He's with a group. My husband and I were the only non-Chinese who were there. And he's looking at my husband. He knows me because we've met, you know, and spoken in the past. And my husband's of Irish descent, and he's looking at him. And then he makes two Irish jokes, you know, to just be personable and to be kind and to be inclusive, just very kind and loving. I know stories about when he's gone to visit people in prison in Hong Kong, just showing up on his own, not with any kind of entourage, as a cardinal. And the prison guards giving him their chair so he could sit and he could speak and preach to whoever he was visiting and listening to him. He's an amazing, amazing, good person.
Yeah. The outcome of this trial, again, I keep going back to the fact that he's 90 years old. Is it a foregone conclusion? Will he be found guilty? Will he? Basically, it'll be a death sentence. He'll spend the rest of his life in prison, right?
I can't imagine it would go any other way. Jimmy Lai is also, you know, these are our martyrs of our day. These are our examples of what we live for Christ, and the people who don't like it, they will turn on us, but it's what we're called to do. Also, you know, one little thing, when they arrested the cardinal the other day, and I said to my mom, I said, you know, a 90-year-old man, a 90-year-old Catholic priest, unarmed. And she said, he's not unarmed. He has the Holy Spirit, so.
I love it. Hey, you mentioned Jimmy Lai. For those who don't know, he's another high-profile Catholic that was arrested a while ago. I believe he's a billionaire who owned the newspaper Apple Daily. Fill us in his story. Why was he arrested, and what's his fate look like?
Well, another person, arrested for, going against the government. But really, he's a democracy seeker. These are democracy seekers and people who promote free speech. Jimmy Lai is a billionaire with a B who could very well have left Hong Kong and been living any place else in the world, but embraced his faith and embraced the issue of justice and isn't going to hide behind his money. He wants to be an example. And also Martin Lee, who is another prominent Catholic, and he's an elected official from Hong Kong who's also been arrested. These are people who have not done anything violent, to hurt another person, but to speak about freedom and justice and social justice. And they're paying the price for it, but we need to pay attention to their plight. And I certainly hope that your listeners will pay close attention to what's going on and raise our voice in prayer for these people because they're the martyrs of today and they're living saints.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And it's so true. You know, when I was sharing a little bit about this story, I know the U.S., NATO, a whole bunch of other nations are decrying what's happening over there right now, Canada, Australia, et cetera. Give me your assessment of that. Are we in the U.S., and this is what China ultimately says, they turn around and they say, look, you're not in any position to pressure China to correct what they're doing right now. On the issue of morality and where we stand, how does China view us, and how do you view our position, whether or not China cares what we have to say?
I often think about countries like China. We say that they're atheists, but I think they're anti-theists. And I think that they fear our faith and our convictions, or they really wouldn't care. So I think how they see us is if we as a people in a nation, and many of us are very strong faith, whatever Pew research says, I don't really care. But there are people who have strong faith in this country, and if we mobilize and raise our voices in prayer and place our trust in God, that's what we're supposed to do. And I don't care, and I don't think most people would care what anybody thinks about us when we do that. Yeah. That's what we need to do. People in this country did this during the Clinton administration when a delegation of clergy was sent over to China to supposedly educate them about faith, to kind of tamp down what was going on here when people were raising their voices in prayer. And we need to resume that and raise our voices. And this isn't an issue that's going to be addressed politically properly. It's going to be addressed by people of faith.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. I only have a moment or two left. People want more information, or they want to go ahead and be brought up to speed on this, or even help. What can they do?
Pray.
All right.
Always first step when you don't know what to do is pray. God will show you what to do. Read and learn and pray. That's my best advice.
I agree. And thank you for your efforts. I know you've been tireless. I know people can also check, I think, you out or get more information at CUSIB.org. So
yes.
I hope people will do that. Hey, keep up your good work. We'll join you in prayer.
Thank you.
Okay, that's for sure.
Thank
God
you
bless
so
you.
Much. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It's Ann Noonan, Executive Director of the Committee for the U.S. International Broadcasting. As I said, she's been a great advocate, and a senior advisor to wonderful foundations founded by Harry Wu. He was a survivor of a Chinese prison labor camp, and she met Cardinal Zen. Is here just to call us to prayer. I mean, that's such the fundamental issue. You know, we were just talking a moment ago, weren't we, about Fatima, right? And this call from our nation's bishops to pray for our own country. We need to do that. I think we have to pray for those who are being persecuted as well. I had mentioned, and I think about China, I think about Russian China, right? But China experts are saying is our really our greatest challenge today as a nation. Going into the, you know, as we continue to navigate the 21st century economically, militarily, there's a lot of intellectual property that's stolen by them. They're amping up their nuclear arms. Their economy is quite robust. And, you know, there are nations in the world that would like to see America knock down a peg or two. And I wonder where this all culminates. Pope Francis consecrated Russia and Ukraine and the world. That includes China, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But I was saying a little while ago, and of course, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary, she appeared, I think, six times to these three shepherd children in Fatima. The apparitions, you know, took place from May 13th. She said she'd come to October 13th. And she came to this little village where she gave a message to the world that today is, I think, just as important. She came with a message for every person, not only in 1917 and 18, but for our day and for our century. It was a message really for this century. She promised that the world will have peace, right? That there would be peace, that many souls go to heaven if we amended our lives, if we converted, if we prayed, right? If we did penance. Here's what she said. Here's a line that has always struck me. She told the little children, and these were little children, okay, 11 and under. She told the children, war is a punishment for sin. That God would punish the world for its sins in our time by means of war, hunger, persecution of the church. That's what we're seeing right now. That's what we just talked about, right? We think Fatima was for 1917 and 18. Yeah, it was. But it's also for 2022. And we're seeing right now in our own day, in a time where the world should be civilized, where dialogue should be preeminent, right? Where we should be able to work out problems in a peaceful manner and put these weapons of destruction behind us. She said that God would punish the world for its sins by means of war, hunger, and persecution of the church and persecution of the Holy Father. You know, unless we listened and obeyed God's commands. And I look at the time we're in right now. Sister Lucia said we're in the third day of the week of Fatima. That means this story is not over. This week is not done. Pope John Paul II on May 13th, and tomorrow maybe I'll dive into this because he was shot on that day, almost assassinated. On May 13th, he said, when he gave this talk after his assassination attempt, he said, Fatima is more relevant and more urgent today than ever. He says, and he was referring to when she first appeared. He says, it's more relevant than when Our Lady first appeared. He says, the message is an anguished appeal of our Heavenly Mother. Listen to his words, an anguished appeal. Here's a mother saying, stop. You do not know what you're doing. You're going to get hurt. Stop. She sees us, John Paul said, in great danger. And she comes to offer her help and her advice. Her message is also a prophecy, a clear indication of what is about to transpire in this century and what will was still going to happen infallibly in the near future, depending on our response to her request. I think it's so profound. I think we are living this message. I think we're living this moment. I think John Paul II saw it. I think we're seeing the persecution of the church, as we've just seen with Jimmy Lai and Cardinal Zen, and we're seeing it with the wars and the rumors of war, and we're seeing sin at unprecedented levels. I think in 1917, how bad was the world? Yeah, there was sin. There's always been sin, right? But as Maggie shared, what they're doing to fourth graders in Britain, I'm not going to... Four-year-olds. Oh, my gosh, Maggie. That's unbelievable. You know, there may be somebody who missed it. Should we share it again or probably not? Well, no, we won't share it. If you missed it, go back. During a break, Maggie shared with me something she saw online. The indoctrination of our kids, you know, with this gender confusion is really what it is. What big media and social media and the entertainment industry is doing with the rejection of God on so many fronts, with our elected officials trying to codify, holding a vote yesterday to do this. I'm telling you, Our Lady said, war is a punishment for sin. We have rejected God. We've redefined marriage. We are embracing sin. We're worshiping at the altar of some sinful behavior right now. She said, God would punish the world for its sins in our time by means of war and persecution of the church. But it wasn't the end all. She gave us the out. And this is what our nation's bishops are doing. And I'll just leave this with you because tomorrow we're going to do it. I want to remind you, and I really want to passionately invite you to do this with me. Set a reminder in your phone right now, right? Or jot yourself a note, stick it on the fridge, right? Or leave it in the car so when you get in there. Tomorrow, our nation's bishops are asking us to pray and fast. All right, they're asking us to pray and fast. They've given us a whole litany of these things. Maggie, did we put that up online? Did you put it on Twitter? Maggie put up on Twitter our, she's going to repost it, she says. If you go to @DrewMarianiShow, you'll see the intentions the Holy Father, the nation's bishops are asking us to pray and fast for. Please do it. Father Rocky prays a rosary at 7 p.m. every evening here at the network. I invite you to join him for that. And if you choose not to do it that way, then pray the rosary. In fact, pray multiple rosaries. Pray every decade of the rosary, if you can, every mystery of the rosary. It was the weapon Our Lady called for in 1917 to these kids. It's ultimately what I believe vanquished atheistic communism and helped bring down the Iron Curtain. I really believe that that's what happened. There's so many rosary miracles and wonders that have taken place. Pray the rosary tomorrow, okay? And then couple that with fasting. And the bishops are asking us for that because they know it will amplify the prayer. Now, I prayed the chaplet every noon, every afternoon at 3. I'm sure the bishops, if they thought about it, would say, pray the chaplet too. I think it's really important that we spend tomorrow in prayer. Maybe go before the Blessed Sacrament. But tomorrow is a day of prayer. It is a day of fasting. And I just want to call you to that. You know, there was an exorcist that I had read a long time ago, and he talked about our country. And he says that our nation right now has allowed demonic openings. You know, I often talk, when we talk about possession and things, there are certain things I like to call them portals. You know, things that we allow, we crack the door, we throw open the window, if you will, dabbling in the occult, you know, engaging in very sinful types of behavior, things along those lines, allow the smoke of Satan in. In some cases, not just increased temptation, not just obsession, but in many cases, oppression, and even in rare cases, full-fledged possession. And I don't think nations are immune to this. And you know, this exorcist had said, he says, you know, we're seeing demonic activity today in the country. And if you assess just the country as a whole, there are strong signs that our country is being demonically oppressed, is the word he used, demonically oppressed. He says there's a significant drop in the practice of faith. And as a result, we're losing that a critical graced protection. See, when you're with God, you have the cloak of God, you're the mantle, you've got that grace, that critical graced protection, that's lifted. Many more people today are practicing witchcraft and Wicca and dabbling with Ouija boards and occult practices. There's almost 1 million abortions each year in this country. It might even be higher, it might be 1.2. I mean, the number's off the charts. That's a huge demonic door, right? That throws open it. There are other sinful behaviors. The rise of internet pornography. A friend of mine, I just took a trip with him not too long ago. I took a pilgrimage with him, and he's an exorcist. And he says, Drew, I cannot tell you what pornography is doing. He says, it's the heart of so many of these issues I'm dealing with. Drug and sexual addictions. Sin gives evil increasing access to your life. Why? Why are you saying, you know, if you know this, if you believe that, and you don't want to give evil greater access to your life, get the confession. All right, it's one of the great things you can do. Get the confession as soon as you can, as early as you can. You know, just pray and get there. God will forgive you. The exorcist went on to say, there are signs in our country of a demonic mentality that's affecting our communities. And one of the first signs of the demonic discord is the level of discord in the country, and that's through the roof. I mean, take a look at what's happening outside of Supreme Court justices' homes. Take a look at what we saw with the riots in our cities. There is a rising level of unhappiness and hopelessness and suicides. He says this is also typical demonic signs. Suicidal rates have been rising in our U.S. In our country right now for years. There's outbursts of rage and anger. There's outbursts of violence. He says that often accompanies demonic activity. You know, one of the steady increases is terrorism. Domestic terrorism we're seeing, right? Molotov cocktails thrown into clinics that help women. Tabernacles being stolen from churches and they're being vandalized. You don't think that there's a demonic oppression with that? There's an element to that? Finally, last thought here, because I've got to take a break and we'll come back and we'll change gears. Satan and his minions, they think of themselves as victims, he says. Oh my gosh, when I saw that, I was like, yeah, ding, 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 you're not kidding. This mentality is increasingly pervasive in our country. And we have this victim mentality. So those are some disturbing trends, which let's just point to an increasing influence of Satan and his minions in our country. How do you counter that? What do? God is infinitely more powerful, and heaven has given a solution. We pray and we do penance. It's exactly what our nation's bishops are asking us to do. So join me tomorrow as I fast, as the nation fasts, and as we pray, especially the rosary.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you found the show, you kind of like what you hear, do me a favor, tell others about it. All right, get them plugged in. Every afternoon, I try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. I try to give you that spiritual perspective, that moral view on some of these very critical issues that are swirling around us today. And a little bit different than partisan politics, right? We'll talk politics when that's in the news for sure. We'll talk economics. We'll talk all those things. We'll talk COVID. In fact, we'll do that in just a minute with Dr. Bob Tabali. He's going to be stopping by here. It's been a while since we touched base with him. And I'll give you the opportunity to join me. We have maybe about 30 minutes left here today. So if you want to get in, let me give you the number, okay? If you've got a question regarding COVID, I think it's on the rise. I'm hearing more reports of people who are battling it. Is it as bad? Is it as contagious? Are we going to see new variants? Are we out of the woods for the summer? What's the fall going to look like? How's it going to affect the economy? What about flying? So much to get into. What about those other vaccines that were out there? If you want to join me, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Put that in the speed dial. I always love to have you pull up a chair and join the conversation. It's been a few weeks, hasn't it, since we talked COVID? And that's a good thing, right? I've been staying away from it for a little while. But yeah, I still think it's an important part of our life. We got to track it. According to different COVID trackers, we've either already surpassed 1 million people who have died. It's an unbelievable number. I'm going to get that from Dr. Tabali and find out what he has to say. 1 million people who've died from it since March of 2020. That's a stunning number, right? Or we're on the cusp of right now, the cusp of doing that. So either way, it's a pretty grim milestone and something that nobody wants to celebrate. It's good to keep those souls who have died, though, in your prayer. Remember those who have gone before us. You know, worldwide, the Johns Hopkins University tracker claims there's been 6.5 million deaths, 6.3 million to be exact. So here in the States, there seems to be something of an upsurge in cases. If you're going through it, love to hear what's going on. If you need some advice, we're here for you. I've heard a small little rural nursing home where there hasn't been, this hasn't been an issue for a long time. Now, four of their employees, three residents have tested positive for it. I was surfing the channel the other day. I saw American Idol. I don't know if you watch American Idol on Fox. It's a music show of some sort. And they're down now to their final contestants, final seven, five, whatever it is. And out of the final, let's say there were seven, two of the five had COVID. So here they are. They worked their entire months trying to get to this point to win this competition. And now they're in a hotel room. They got to perform back there. So you're seeing it manifest everywhere. Maybe you're going through it. There's several cases that have appeared. And they think it's the subvariant that's been labeled, B.A.2.12.1. I mean, you go through this thing, these long numbers that keep tagging on to the ends of these variants. But there are reports of cases in Florida, New York, Illinois, Minnesota. At least in Florida, there's no corresponding increase in hospitalization rates. But experts say you know, it probably has to do with people having vaccinations and being exposed earlier. Let's talk about it. I'm joined right now by Dr. Robert Tabali. He practices, of course, infectious adult and pediatric infectious disease in Chicago and that area there. And if you want to tap into him, check out his website, germbusters.com. He's a clinical assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois, and it's always good to tap into his expertise. Dr. Bob, welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Nice to be with you again. And you were talking about China before.
Yep,
I mean, the big problem with COVID in the world right now is in China, where they've had that zero COVID policy forever, where they didn't tolerate anybody getting COVID after it initially broke out in Wuhan. And they still have Shanghai under lockdown. And about 346 million people throughout the country, the different provinces, under hard lockdown now in China because of, you know, these Omicron variants, which are so much more infectious than the initial strains of coronavirus that we saw. And they just can't stop it. It's like holding back the wind, holding back the tide. And even the World Health Organization the other day said the zero COVID tolerance policy is not working. It's not working. And, you know, you need to get away from that. And the Chinese government said that's irresponsible to talk that way. But there's so many people suffering, not just the Christians under persecution, but even non-Christians who are suffering with these COVID lockdowns right now.
Yeah, okay. Let's take a few calls for you, doctor. You can join us 888-914-9149 if you want to get in there. Time's going to fly. I only have a few minutes in the broadcast today. Wish I could hang out with you longer, but Sarah got in first, so let's bring her into the conversation. She's a high school teacher. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Drew. Hi. I'm calling because I had COVID over 2 years ago in October of 2020, and I still cannot smell properly.
Wow.
And I'm wondering if he knows of any kind of therapy or anything that I could be doing.
So you had COVID a couple of years ago. You can't smell. Interestingly, there was a study I saw today, a two-year follow-up of people from China, actually, about 2,500 people. The smell disorder, about 6% of people continue to have that at 2 years. There's really nothing that anybody knows that you can do. What they found is people that had MRIs of the brain for whatever reason before they had COVID, a subset of people, I think it was a couple of dozen people, they checked their brain on MRI after they had serious COVID, and there was brain matter loss throughout the entire brain.
Wow.
But one of the chief areas was in, you know, the centers that process the olfactory sensations. So I don't know what to tell you.
That's a bummer.
Tincture of thyme really is about all you can do. I usually recommend these people these ground-up fruit and vegetable supplements. I don't know if you've ever tried those things, but they have all these pre-nutrients and such. And a lot of people get better energy. I can't say that anybody's recovered their smell on them. But,
that doesn't sound great.
Well, hang in there, Sarah. My daughter, when she got COVID, she lost her smell. It did come back. Doctor, I don't know, will it regenerate? Will the brain form, you know, new connections? And will she be able to get her smell back? Did this come back over time?
That's what we believe happens for people who get their smell back, that the brain develops new connections around the other brain cells that were lost during the viral infection. We can only hope that happens.
All
but, you know, fully 31% of people 2 years after, they can't sleep at night. They can't sleep through the night, 31%. 31% have severe fatigue or muscle weakness. 18% have serious joint pain that's continuous or hair loss.
Wow.
And 15% have continuous dizziness and palpitations.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is,
wow, that's unbelievable.
You know, people say, oh, COVID's not a big deal. I say, well, you know, it's kind of like being pushed out of a second-story window. you know, most people will survive it. Some people just get up and walk away. Other people, you know, they're left with lingering problems from it. I mean, I personally, you know, I had life-threatening COVID back in March of 2020, and I still can't sleep through the night. I can only sleep about 3 hours at a time.
Wow, that's torture. Hey, Sarah, hang in there. I'll say a prayer for you tonight when I pray.
That's, thank Thank you. I appreciate it so, so much. Thank you so much. Great show.
You got it. Thank you. Hang in there. That's a tough cross to carry. You know, when you can't smell, you can't taste. You know what I mean? It really changes life. Eating's no fun anymore. And Sarah, we will pray for you. I know a lot of people are listening, so we'll lift you up. Yeah, I've got a question. We'll jump back into the phones, but I'm just curious. I know somebody who, you know, you're talking about all these side effects to COVID. I know somebody who refused to get vaccinated for a long time, eventually got vaccinated. A lot of people, physicians, everybody were saying, oh, no, go ahead and do it. It's good. It's safe. And no sooner did they get vaccinated that they ended up getting COVID for the first time. And I thought, well, maybe the person had like a natural immunity to it, but because they got vaccinated and these spike proteins are now in them that made him more susceptible, it shouldn't. I don't know. I'm not the physician. Is there any possibility that a natural immunity can be compromised by being vaccinated? Does that make sense to you, doctor? You know,
natural immunity against COVID, I don't think so, but a lot of the patients I see for long COVID, yeah. You know, continuous fatigue after COVID, they tend to have reactivations of certain viruses that are DNA viruses, and when we get infected with them, they stay with us. They become part of us, like herpes simplex that causes cold sores and so on, the shingles virus, cytomegalovirus, human herpes virus number 6. I see a lot of reactivation of these things in people post-COVID and also sometimes post-COVID vaccination. And they need to be treated with certain antivirals. Lots of times patients improve after they're treated with the special antivirals. Sometimes patients don't get, retain their level of energy that they had before. Yeah.
Gotcha. Let's go to Richard in Monterey Park. He's got an interesting question for you, doctor. Hi, Richard. Good afternoon.
Yes. My question to the doctor is, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Yep.
Yes, okay. We're here. Thanks.
The question to the doctor is, I about a year and a half ago, I asked my doctor, because I was a little bit worried before I got the vaccine, hey, doc, what happens if I get COVID? And he goes, Richard, we just don't quote me. He goes, but we got a handle on it already. He goes, the death rate has gone down. And really, there's no reason for anybody to die anymore, because we just issue a 3-pack. If you get it, just call me and I'll issue a 3-pack. I forgot what he told me the 3-pack was. The reason why this is a doctor that I've had for like almost 14 years, is because we didn't know how to deal with it. Now we do. Yeah, people get it, but they're not dying of it. What do you have to say to that? And I'll hang up.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. Doctor, I don't know if you made that out. I know his phone was breaking up a little bit. With COVID, what's all the hype? He says there's now treatments that are effective against it, and it's like the flu.
Yeah, there's an oral treatment called Paxlovid, which is readily available, and the CDC runs a website where you can actually look and see which drugstore has how many on the shelf. And, you know, that's helpful. Back a couple of months ago when we were having the surge of Omicron, which, to be honest, I don't think we're going to see anything like that again. We couldn't get that. It was in short supply. So right now, when there aren't a lot of people significantly ill with COVID, it's available. But if we were to have a significant problem with it again, it'd be everything be in tight supply. The new monoclonal antibody, we only have one now that has any effectiveness against these new strains. There is a long-acting monoclonal antibody that if anybody's immune compromised, cancer, multiple myeloma, a transplant, they should talk to their doctor about getting injected with this. It's one shot in the butt cheek each side, and it protects you for 6 to 9 months against COVID. That's if you're immunocompromised. I think that this is going into a background kind of infection. It's going to be kind of like influenza or cold or, you know, quote, walking pneumonia. All those things I just said, certain people, they get infected with them, they can die. Mm-hmm. And the germ is no less problematic than it ever was, the coronavirus. However, most everybody has some degree of immunity to it now, either natural immunity or vaccine-related immunity. And for those people, if they get exposed to it again, they may get infected, but a lot of people are going to be asymptomatic or have very, very, very mild infection. But for the older folks who've never had it or haven't been vaccinated, you know, for years to come, they're still going to be at risk if they ever come in contact with it. And it's going to continue to circulate like this. Now, in my local area, we have an uptick in hospitalizations. I would have to tell you that the average age is like 85 years old of the people that are admitted, and most all of them have been vaccinated, and they're doing, you know, quite well. You know, it's not like back in January, right, February, where we had so many young people being overwhelmed with it. But I have a healthy respect for it because I've seen what it can do to a healthy 40-year-old man, you know, who not otherwise knowingly ill, but mm-hmm. suffered from hypertension and diabetes and so on. But I've seen a lot of people pass away from it, and I think it's not necessary to do that. I, you know, the Novavax vaccine, if I could have a drum roll, please.
Yeah, Doc, I'll tell you what, Novavax, on that drum roll, hang on, hold the thought. I have to take a break. When we come back, let's talk Novavax. We'll talk about some of the other vaccine. We'll take a few calls. If you're on hold, Dr. Jennifer, Mary Ellen, everyone, I'll do my best to get you on. We've got a few minutes left to Dr. Robert Tobali. We're taking a look at the latest with COVID. There is a new variant out there. How potent is it? Getting you up to speed on what you need to know. We're back with your calls, questions, and comments right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good to be with you today. About 10 minutes before the top of the hour. If you're just getting plugged in, we're taking a look at the latest. It's been a while since I've addressed COVID. There is a new variant out there, so we invited our resident doc, Dr. Robert Tobali, to stop by to take your calls and questions and bring us all up to speed on the latest. And I'm going to jump back into the phones. Before I do, you know, the doctor was going to talk a little bit about another vaccine that's out there, Novavax. And doctor, I've got something for you. You requested a drum roll, so here it is. The big buildup. There you go, doc. It's all yours. Tell us the latest.
June 7th. June 7th, the FDA will take up the Novavax.
That's too funny.
And we think that usually when they take it up, they'll approve it. So it's only been a couple of years we've been waiting for this. So everybody asks me, when's Novavax going to get approved? I can't say for sure it's going to get approved, but June 7th is when the FDA is going to review it. They may approve it thereafter. I hope they do.
And that's an ethical alternative.
Well, you know, it was tested against fetal cell lines, but not to the same degree as the messenger RNAs. But the major thing about the Novavax is that it's a traditional type of vaccine. It's not messenger RNA. You get injected with a certain amount of this, you know, protein stuff, and that's all you get. The messenger RNA vaccines, they basically inject you with a recipe for your own body cells to make the spike protein. Some people make a lot of spike protein. Other people make a little amount of spike protein. But the Novavax is a very well-tolerated vaccine, very low side effects, and very efficacious, very protective against coronavirus. And it can be used as a mix-and-match booster. So if somebody got Pfizer or Moderna before and they really kind of don't want to get a booster, but they don't want to get one of those again, they could get the Novavax. That's already been studied. The data is very good on mixing and matching with Novavax for a booster.
Gotcha. Let's do this, Doc. We have a few minutes. We'll grab a few calls. Dr. Jennifer's listening in Newark, New Jersey. Hey, Doc.
Hi. I just want to mention that just last week I was visiting nursing homes, and like one reported that he had like paralysis and muscle weakness, and he's now wheelchair bound because of the vaccine. Another one had a near heart attack, and another one had died. And I know this because I autopsy post-vaccination deaths. So it was almost like in keeping with what CDC now has pretty much reported, that both the vaccine and COVID give the same outcome in terms of that raising of the immune and inflammatory response in the body. Wow. It's called multisystemic inflammatory complex. So that has been almost, to me, kind of like the explanation of why those who are in the at-risk population, the elderly, those with heart disease, diabetes, obesity, etc., kind of has a worse effect or worse outcome. And I kid you not, these people go into the vaccination or the boosters thinking that it will protect them. And within less than 42 days, usually within a week, they actually say something is wrong, something is off, or they are just basically found dead.
Wow.
So for death not to be a known informed consent item in any vaccine, even the Novavax that's coming out, at least it has to be really spread out there. I know I've been vilified by my own office for speaking out or presenting. I was prohibited from presenting in the national meetings, but but it's something that we pathologists know, the UK pathologists know. We have almost protocols in it as we do autopsies on how to document these cases. But because the Department of Health and other health agencies don't have this in their official position to not promote, you know, they're into the vaccination, etc. But this is like a really extensive rollout, global rollout of vaccines that didn't deserve to be done so because the methodology or the technology is still very new.
Doctor, first of all, thank you for your contribution and for the insight. Dr. Tabali, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I've heard the good doctor calling in before repeatedly, and what she has to say is very poignant and accurate. There's a lot that's not known about these vaccines, and there was an autopsy series of patients after they had COVID, and like months and years after they had COVID, and they found active virus in different parts of the body. We still don't know that if people have had recent COVID, do they have a more severe reaction to getting a vaccine? This is one thing that I've always been concerned about and cautioned my patients not to get vaccinated for an extended period of time after they've had COVID. It's like this antibody that I was talking about that gives you 6 months protection. If you get injected with that soon after you've had COVID, you could actually have a heart attack. There are deaths in people that got that. And so before you get that antibody, you have to be tested to make sure that you don't have active COVID, and you have to say, you know, you have to acknowledge that you haven't had COVID recently. So, I mean, there's a lot we don't know. I mean, over the next number of years, we'll know a lot more. But, a lot of people don't trust the messenger RNA vaccines, and there's reasons for that. I have a lot of patients that I've seen in my little funnel down quadrant of patients that have had some pretty severe vaccine-related effects, but it's hard to report these things, and then when you do, nothing really seems to happen. And I appreciate the good doctor's work and her honesty in presenting what she's seen.
Let's go to Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. Mary Ellen, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
And while the doctor is talking, I'm trying to get information from my daughter. Her husband, my son-in-law, and my daughter had COVID recently around Christmas. And after they recovered from COVID, they both lost their sense of smell and taste. My son-in-law did recover his. However, my daughter did not. Certain things that she eats or smells, she says it smells rotten. It smells like chemicals. It also smells, some things also smell like gasoline. And she belongs to a support group. There are a lot of people out there that are experiencing loss of smell, and taste. I have the name of this group if you would like it. I don't know how legitimate they are.
Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe if it might help her, why not? Just throw it out. She can do her own due diligence.
It's called Parosmia, Parosmia.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mary Ellen, for calling in, and maybe that will help. I hope your daughter...
Hopefully it'll help someone.
Yeah, I hope your daughter recovers.
I don't want to talk over you.
No, it's okay. I'm grateful. I only have about a moment left, and I want to just grab another call. We'll say a prayer for your daughter as well. It's tragic to lose your taste. Mary in New York State, I only have about a minute or two for you, but thank you for waiting.
Hi, did you say Christy?
I said Mary. Is that you, Mary, or are you Christy?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm 81 and a half years old. I had a few vaccines at the beginning of my life in 1941, 42, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I go out every single day. I've never had the vaccine, any vaccines. I stay far from all vaccines, 100%. And I'm never sick. I had, in the beginning of 2020, I was living with my daughter, who her husband kept going into the city, working there. So they got the COVID, and I got the COVID. Story over.
All right. Well, I am happy that you are healthy, Mary. That's for sure. Doctor, I have less than a minute. I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Well, just remember that this is going to melt into the background, much like influenza is. And it will probably, you have to reorient your mind around it, that this is not something to fear if you've been had natural immunity or if you've been vaccinated. You're in a good position. Same thing with your family members. And for people that have, these deficiencies like mm-hmm. nuts, being able to smell, just try to bear with it. Taking a B-complex vitamin or taking one of these preparations that are ground-up fruits and vegetables might be helpful. I found them to be helpful in some of the patients with other symptoms with COVID, but I wish you all well, and I greatly appreciate being able to have been of service these past 2.5 years.
Doctor, thank you. We are grateful for your insight and for your wisdom. I'm out of time for the day. Cale Clark is coming up. Stay tuned.